Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hey man, welcome to the show. Stop saying balls.
You like balls though.
No, I don't.
You laugh every time I say it.
Now it's just getting annoying.
Is it though?
Balls are getting annoying. The older you get, the more droopy
more
they get.
Wrinkly and droopy.
Okay.
They don't look
annoying. Annoying balls.
They don't feel like a velvet bag anymore. They just feel like old sack of marbles.
Pretty much. Something you sit on way too much.
Oh, really? You have that problem?
We're not going to get into that. Hey, welcome to the show.
What's up, everyone?
We are on episode number 84 of the Metal Geeks podcast.
You sure about that number?
Yes,
you paused like you did.
I wrote it down, so okay. I made sure to know.
Okay.
We've been going strong, man, long and strong. Time to get the friction on.
Yeah, we're... How long have I been on the show now? A little over a year now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, wow, it's crazy.
You and Dave have both been on the show. Hey, where's Dave at?
I think he's sick today.
Yeah.
Called in sick.
I think he's got that summer flu or something, man.
The whole family got it. He got the con flu. Yeah, the con gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. Yeah, he was at Amazing Comic Con, so were we. We'll get into that in a minute, but he was there all weekend with Geekazoid, so
yeah.
He was stuck behind his booth making that money. Making that green.
Yeah, not a lot of good reviews came from that con, actually. I was seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah?
Yeah.
About the con itself?
Yeah, the con itself. I felt kind of bad because I had a good time.
I had a great time.
But I felt bad for like a lot of the vendors say they didn't have a good time.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
So what have you been doing? What have you been playing? Have you been watching anything? Let's talk about that first.
Watching? Let's see. I've been, not like anyone, like you would care specifically, but...
No, I don't care.
But yeah, I've been watching the Hard Knocks show on HBO about the Houston Texans training camp. I like football.
I've been watching something on HBO Go as well, and we'll get to that.
Oh yeah, what have you been watching?
Let's talk about your the sports thing you're watching.
The sports thing. Why yeah. Do you say it like that?
Why are you watching the sports?
The sport. I like sports. At least I like football and basketball and soccer.
Soccer is not a real sport.
Tell that to the half of majority of the world.
Right. That's true. Probably a better sport than football.
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 The football. So what is this show about? Why are you watching it?
Basically, the way the show is, it's a behind-the-scenes look of training camp.
Reality show.
Kind of, but like in the HBO documentary style type thing that they do.
So it doesn't have the Kardashians?
No Kardashians. No like Real Housewife bullshit. A lot of cursing and a lot of like football players worrying about making the team.
I like the season they had with The Rock.
Ballers, you mean?
Yeah.
That was an actual scripted television show.
No.
So it's a reality
show.
Wasn't
a reality documentary show?
No. So it's a documentary version of that.
Okay.
Essentially. Just no tits or fancy agent people.
Then I'm not going to watch it.
But it's a good show. And like the season finale happened yesterday and he had a really good like...
A hook? Had a season finale hook?
No, I had a good motivational speech at the end about like how you like got to keep playing every day to win. Like, you
like see, Kevin like, Smith's motivational speech?
Yes,
did?
But you know, I didn't cry like I cried at Kevin Smith's speech.
Cried at Kevin Smith?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, wow.
I teared up. I mean, I wasn't like bawling, crying hard, but
wow.
I even told him that at the end of the show and he started tearing up too. We shared a moment.
Then he went back to his hotel room.
Yeah, and then he like said, "Fuck," he said, "forgot all about it after like I left." I'm sure, but it is what it is. Other than that, I've been watching a lot of movies on HBO and Showtime. I recently rewatched *End of Days* with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
I know, right?
Yeah, that's the movie that has Testament playing at the end, isn't it? They go to like this big fest, like future scene, and there's like a heavy metal band playing.
No.
No?
No.
There's a band. One of those movies had Testament in it. I don't remember what it was. Sure, it wasn't End of Days.
I don't think so. There was a lot of new metal in that movie.
There wasn't a band playing in it?
No.
Okay.
I watched it twice, so yeah, no. There's no...
Speaking of weird bands playing, being in weird movies, you remember Ace Ventura?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember the band that was in that movie?
Wasn't that Cannibal Corpse?
Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah, because exactly, right. Like, isn't, what's-his-face, Jim Carrey? He's like a huge metalhead, yeah.
Yeah.
Even though he was making fun of metalheads in the movie, but...
That's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
As long as it had, like... A few minutes of Cannibal Corpse on screen, which was weird. But going back, okay, so End of Days.
End of Days. And I forgot.
What was that movie about? I don't remember.
Basically, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a man who's like lost his wife and child due to a home invasion. And
he has to get to Mars.
No, and it's year 1999.
Oh, the future.
Yeah, and it's about to be 2000. And so the devil needs to find the marked chick can have pregnant.
Isn't that with, what's the name of that actor? Who plays the devil?
I forget his name. But I know who you're talking about.
Look this up on Google now while we're talking.
He was the guy in Cool World, if that helps.
Cool World.
So anyway, Arnold Schwarzenegger basically fights the devil and saves the world.
Okay.
But when I first saw it, I was like, okay, it's not the greatest movie. But when I watched it again recently, I was like, holy fuck, this is an awesome movie. It has a lot of great one-liners.
1999.
Yes, it did.
Had Robin Gabriel Byrne. That's who I was trying to think of.
Yeah, he played a pretty good devil.
Robin Tunney. Yeah. Okay, I remember that movie. I remember seeing that in the theater, actually.
So my favorite line in that whole movie is it's the part where Arnold Schwarzenegger has pretty much caught on that the devil's real and that he wants to find the girl. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's in his apartment down on his luck kind of deal. Anyway, so the devil appears in his apartment all magical and all that stuff and telling him how badass he is and how like he can, you know, kill him with the snap of his fingers. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger says like, oh, you think you're badder than me? You're a fucking choir boy compared to me.
I can kill you. That was horrible Arnold.
Yeah, that was the worst Arnold I've ever heard.
It really was.
But the fucking choir boy line made me laugh hysterically. I had to rewind it and watch it a couple of times.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing current, because there's really nothing in the movie theaters that I want to see. Been playing video games. I've been playing the new Mad Max game.
Yeah, me too.
It's amazing.
I'm only maybe an hour and a half into it. It's a lot of fun, though.
The story. There's been something else
that's been occupying my game playing time.
I'm sure. We'll get to that in a second. But I heard some like people were talking crap about the game online, or I read somewhere, and then you're never gonna please everybody.
It looks amazing. There's a couple of frame rate problems I've seen, but
really?
Big deal. Yeah,
I have no issues on mine.
Maybe it's an Xbox problem. I don't know.
Maybe it is an Xbox problem. Maybe that's why I got it on PS4.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
plus the picture quality is better.
Okay.
Anyway, so the game is beautiful.
Yeah.
And the only problem I had when I first started playing is that the controls are a little odd, at least for me. Like, the firing button is not where you expect it to be, and so on and so forth. But other than that, it's an amazing game. I'm probably, I don't know how many hours into it I am, but I don't think I'm that far because there's a lot to do. So it's a big span world, which I love about it. It's like a big sandbox. And you do feel like you're living out that universe George Miller created.
And the gameplay, it doesn't feel like a rushed movie game. The gameplay, the action, it's the Batman Arkham
series. Yeah, totally.
Gameplay style.
For Mad Max.
For Mad Max. But here's my only worry is you start the game off so underpowered. And you keep on building up your character. I just hope you don't get so overpowered where the game just becomes super easy. You know what I mean?
I haven't had that issue yet.
Okay. You're way further in than I am, too.
The issue that I had was trying to figure out how to do stuff. And, yeah, like, the game doesn't... I mean, it tells you how to do certain things or tell you when to do things. But, like, there's a point where you have to learn how to shoot the harpoon out of your car.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't figure that out very easily somehow or another. And I kept getting killed by a sniper and it pissed me off. And there's like, you die really easy, or you lose health really easily in this game.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks.
It's a good game, though. I mean,
it is fun to play.
I don't think it's like as horrible as people are making out to be. It's probably, I would give it maybe a...
I think it's a great game.
I'd probably give it like a 7.5.
It's probably my second favorite game of this year so far.
What's your first?
Batman.
Okay.
So far. Until Uncharted comes out.
And that's true. That's next year, though.
Oh, yeah, that is next year.
It's March.
I thought it was
year.
Coming out this year for some reason.
You know what's been occupying my time?
What's been occupying your time?
Disney Infinity 3.0.
Uh-oh.
Star Wars edition.
Star Wars edition. Yeah, I watched you play
Take My Money Now edition.
Disney, give me everything.
Yes. Well, okay, so I played the first couple ones, and, you know, there was points where I just stopped playing because it just got boring. The gameplay was...
The Disney Infinity games?
Yeah, the gameplay wasn't all there, but, man, I gotta tell you, the Star Wars levels with... Okay, it's really the characters that have lightsabers. That's where the game excels. Because...
So what about the ones that don't have lightsabers, like Han Solo?
I haven't played Han Solo yet. I have played Boba Fett, because I do own... I bought the PS... Here's what I did. I used a bunch of credit at Best Buy in my discount, and I bought the...
Working the
deluxe,
system.
The deluxe edition, which comes with the original trilogy game, which is not even out yet, and an extra Boba Fett.
Uh-huh.
And I bought the Xbox One digital copy of the game so I could play it on my Xbox One. Well, I had credit, too. It was all right.
Yeah, that's good. You work in the system, man.
That's right. That's what I did.
I really want to play it. After watching you play it, I want to play it.
It's a lot of
fun.
And
I can only imagine it's only going to get better when Force Awakens gets closer or comes out.
Well, there's the Force Awakens set coming out right before the movie.
See? There you go. So another reason for me, like, wait.
And I also got this pre-order called Toy Box Takeover with a free game, which is cool because it's like a... the bad guy was from Incredibles. What's his name? Jason Lee plays him.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Syndrome.
Syndrome. I was going to say Voltron for some reason.
Yeah, not Voltron. Syndrome. He basically trying to take over the toy box in the game, and like all your characters can play these levels together. So you could mix Star Wars and Marvel characters and Disney characters. That's the only one that's like a game. That you can actually mix characters
together. It's the Lego Dimensions version of...
Yes. And with free for me, so which is great. But going back to the game, the fighting style for the Star Wars characters, especially Ahsoka. Mm-hmm.
Ahsoka.
She has the dual blades and stuff.
Yeah.
Holy crap. She's so much fun to play as. I think she's my favorite character so far.
Really?
Gameplay-wise, yeah.
How many other characters you played as?
Because
I know in Infinity you get to use the pods to change them out and stuff.
Yeah, you just take the character off and stick them on. So I'm trying to level her up. I've played as Luke. Luke is actually pretty good too. But, you know, just a character that shoot pew-pew blaster
pew,
stuff.
Pew-pew.
We're all right. Like, even Boba Fett.
Boba Fett's kind of boring.
Well, now that I powered him up earlier and I can fly around the whole place, that's pretty cool.
Okay. The Fett wasn't cutting it earlier.
But they hired a bunch of different companies to work on this game. So the Ninja Theory, which is a company that did like the last Devil May Cry game. So they have a really stellar action, you know, style to their gameplay.
Uh-huh.
They created the action stuff for the Star Wars levels.
Even the space flight stuff that you were doing earlier looked pretty cool too.
You're like, oh, this is going to be better than Battlefront. I'm like, I don't know about that.
No, I say it was a good appetizer for Battlefront.
Okay, good appetizer, yeah.
Yeah, like this is going to hold you over until Battlefront comes out.
If you can get a good deal on it, I mean, Disney Infinity stuff always goes on sale.
Does it really?
Black Friday will be really cheap.
Okay.
But you know, I was the credit that I had, and then the discount I got at Best Buy, I was happy to pay what I paid.
You know, I think Disney just should come out with this thing where, like, you can trade in your soul and just get everything for free.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
Sign me up right now. As long as it comes with free tickets to Disneyland, I'm good.
Everything Disney free. Just sign on your soul here.
All right. Most people actually probably have. Yeah. The only thing that's really missing for me in the Disney Infinity stuff, it has Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
It has Marvel now.
Right.
And it has all the cool Disney stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street's not a Disney thing yet.
Nightmare Before Christmas, and it has Mickey, and it has all the characters built together. I want the Muppets in that game.
Oh, yeah?
Imagine
Kermit the Frog here.
Exactly. Imagine just, you know, the expansion packs are like $35. You get the level, and you get two characters, right?
Yeah, but what would those levels be? Like a music level?
Just in an action adventure game with like Kermit and like Fozzie or something.
but Kermit and Fozzie are not really action-y people.
So?
They're like walk around and make jokes people.
They can punch.
You, Kermit the Frog punch somebody?
I played games before, you know, that have, you know, ability for the Muppets to like fight and stuff. There's a PS1 game, I think. Muppets Monster or something. I can't remember what it was called.
I don't know. You would
a lot
know.
Of fun, though.
Was it?
Yeah. Okay. Not really, but it was a Muppets game, so.
I gotta have it.
And it's also coming out for, they're coming out with a Toy Box racer game.
Like for so, cars?
Well, for Disney Infinity. So
it'll have Cars characters?
Yeah, it's the, well, probably, if you have the Cars characters, but you could, any of the figures that you own will have a car available for it in the game.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
So there's 9 levels they've announced, and it's done by the same group that did the last Sonic racing game. Sonic and his friends.
The Sonic All-Stars or whatever?
Yeah, Sonic All-Stars, which was really good.
I actually bought that. Yeah, that was fun.
I got it free on the Vita.
On the Vita?
The Vita.
The PS Vita?
The PS Vita.
Yeah. I don't think anyone else bought it.
No, probably not. I'm the only one who owns it.
On the Vita? I have it on the Xbox 360.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So that comes out soon. They haven't announced a date. And there's also another Marvel series coming out. Another big playset coming out. Probably early spring.
For the Infinity 3.0?
Yep.
So, like...
There's an Inside Out series or Inside Out.
Yeah, I saw
right
that
now.
Box set. So how do you think this is going to fare to the Lego Dimensions? Which one's going to win?
Okay, so...
Lego Dimensions has almost kind of the same properties as Disney now.
No, not really.
Almost?
It has everything else what Disney doesn't have.
It has Marvel. It has...
Not in the game, though.
Yeah, they do.
No.
Really?
They are not going to be able to do a video game on Marvel.
Really? That I didn't know.
Not in the Lego Dimensions.
Okay.
I mean, they have the Lego separate games, but if... I believe Disney owns the right to do the little... You can't... Nah. It's nope. Not going to happen.
Well, I mean...
You know what I mean?
Because I would think it's like different chapters. Like, you got the Lego Star Wars, and then there's just Star Wars. And then there's, you know...
Well, they could prove me wrong, because that's why I think the Lego Dimensions is going for all these more... Not, I wouldn't say obscure, but different... properties like
Back to the Future,
Back to the Future, and Jurassic Park, and
that's not really obscure. It's just
that's what I said.
Not Marvel,
and Disney,
and Star Wars.
Yeah,
but they have like the same pedigree of like characters and franchises behind them. So,
and I am a huge Lego video game nerd.
Yeah, I liked all the Marvel stuff and the DC Batman stuff.
I'm glad they announced the new Marvel one, which is Lego Marvel 2. Which is supposed to be like based on the cinematic universe.
Yeah,
but it's not coming out till like later next year.
I haven't got excited about that. I wasn't excited about that like I was for Batman 3 Beyond Gotham.
Right.
Because when Batman 2 came out, I said that was the best Superman game ever made.
Yeah. But you didn't get those characters until like almost to like the last start of the game.
Yeah, but you just play the game again and you get to play as Superman throughout the whole game.
No. Moving away from video games here, going back to what I've been watching.
What have you been watching?
I started going back, and I never finished this series, which is a great fucking series, The Newsroom.
Oh, the Aaron Sorkin show.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah, yeah.
Consider myself a Sorkin dorkin now.
Were you not a Sorkin fan to begin
with? I never really watched like The West Wing or anything like that, but...
West Wing's good. It's a little slow, but it's good.
He's such a... Here's what I think about. He's such a prolific, amazing writer... That I feel stupid just by watching what he does. I'm like, oh, okay.
You watch the show, like, man, I feel dumb, but man, this is great watching.
It's great TV. So I'm like episode 6 on season 2, and there's only 3 seasons of the show, so.
Yeah, it didn't do too well as far as ratings go, but
such
I mean,
a good
it,
show.
It was fun to. It
Everybody
was good
on
to watch.
That show is really, really good. Jeff Daniels is amazing.
I like
the show.
Jeff Daniels in that show. I'm surprised it hasn't revitalized his career a little
Olivia
bit.
Olivia Munn's really good on that show.
I think she shows her tits in that show, too.
When doesn't she?
I you know, that's a good point.
Magic Mike, she did.
Did she really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch that movie.
She probably won't do it in the X-Men movie. There's probably going to be no gratuitous nudity in
I'm
the
I'm sure
X-Men
there's a nip slip somewhere.
An apocalypse? I don't know.
Oh, another movie that I watched recently that I remember it coming out that it's fucking stupid, but I watched it like I thought the plot line was kind of good, was Into the Blue, Paul Walker and Jessica Alba. It was a late night. I was kind of bored. The movie's not great.
We need to find you things to do to make you money at home instead of watching these horrible movies.
It's late at night. It's almost like 3 in the morning. But I was watching this movie and I was like, you know, some of the plot line isn't all that bad. I mean, it was executed poorly, but some of the plot line wasn't all that bad in my
opinion. Is that a surfer movie?
No, it's a treasure hunter kind of movie.
Okay, like what? Romancing the Stone or something?
Yeah, but a little bit more realistic, I guess. Basically, these two brothers that live in the Caribbean, they make a living diving and looking for treasure, like sunken ships and stuff.
Treasure!
And they happen to stumble upon a plane full of cocaine, a sunken plane full of cocaine. And underneath that plane is a buried ship that has, like, it's a very, like, mythical ship.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and so now, like, him and his brother's girlfriend and his girlfriend, who's just
chased
Alva,
by bad guys.
Or, well, they eventually want their coke back. They found out that they have it and so on and so forth. And, you know, I didn't think the plot line or the setup was all that bad. I just thought the acting and the execution of the movie was bad. But the plot line, not so bad.
It's Paul Walker. I mean, come on.
Hey, man, Paul Walker's okay.
All right.
Did you ever see Running Scared?
No.
You never seen Running Scared? Oh, that's a great movie.
No.
That's probably his best movie he's ever made, right next to Hours.
I never told that either.
Hours is about a movie where he's in New Orleans during the hurricane, during Katrina, and he's in the hospital and his kid's dying, so he has to like fight to keep his kid alive so the power will come back on.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yeah, it was fucking good. And you're breaking shit in your office.
I'm knocking shit over, man. I'm so excited about seeing that. Not seeing that movie.
Oh, that's fucked up. He's dead now.
Oh, is he? That's right, he is.
Yeah, he is dead. Did you not do that on purpose?
He should have been a Paul Walker, not a Paul Driver.
Oh, well, he wasn't driving.
That's
he was
right.
Passenger.
Paul Passenger. Passengering.
Oh, a sad day. He should have been walking is what he should have been doing.
Right. So, what else have we been doing? We went to Amazing Comic Con.
We did
went
to Amazing Comic Con. We filmed an episode for Adventures in Geekery there.
Indeed, we did. We had a little bit of technical difficulties on Saturday because using a new camera, you used a Sony A7S for the
first
time.
Someone didn't charge the batteries.
Hey, I was given the batteries from somebody and they were not charged.
Not my fault.
Not my fault either.
I'm just saying. Just because I'm the camera operator does not make it my fault.
Actually, a little bit does.
No, it doesn't because I didn't pick up the gear. Had I picked up the gear, it would have been charged.
All right, fine. It's my fault. So we went back Sunday, and we actually did the interview. But let's talk about our day Saturday.
At the con?
At the con.
Yeah, sure.
We saw
Rob Liefeld there.
We did see Rob Liefeld. So the first thing we did, we met up with... one of the first things we did, I met up with you, and then my wife, Kim, was there on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
We met up with Justin from Comical Podcast and Adventures
also,
in Geekery.
Yeah, co-host of...
Exactly. And if you listen to the last episode of Comical Podcast, which is, they talk about the Amazing Comic Con.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Good.
They talk about us.
And Miguel was there on
Sunday.
Sunday,
Miguel was there.
Yeah. Horsticles.
So Saturday, we basically just walked around and got the lay of the land and see what was up. We did our traditional lunch dinner at Phoenicia. If you know what the Phoenicia is, it's amazing. It's a Mediterranean.
It's a Mediterranean restaurant.
Restaurant/grocery store.
Yeah.
They have chocolate baklava there, which is pretty damn good. We even brought a piece to Dave, so.
It's probably what got him sick.
Maybe.
You got him sick, dude.
Maybe I did. And spread it to his whole family. I'm sorry, Dave. It was delicious, though, wasn't it?
It tasted good. Moment on the hips, lifetime on the hips.
That's right. That's what. Wait a minute. No, I'm not going there. So what did we do on Saturday there? We
saw some peoples. We saw some artists.
Peoples.
We met up with Matt from Wonder Bros there.
That's right. We hung out with him for a while. The Wonder Bros are wonderful.
Yeah,
the Wonder Bros.
Yeah, they're great. They're responsible for bringing Kevin Smith into town
a
couple weeks ago.
Definitely have to thank him for that.
And we saw the Rob Liefeld panel.
Let's talk about the Rob Liefeld panel.
Sure.
He did talk about Deadpool. You know, he said a lot of stories he did last year.
He cannot not talk about Deadpool.
That dude bounces off the wall.
Yeah.
He's
a ball of energy.
He's a ball of energy. I'm like, I was tired just after. I'm like, dude, chill out. I'm done. And speaking of...
I like how he does his Q&A, though.
Speaking of balls, we saw Deadpool's package.
What?
That fat Deadpool that was there?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
There's a guy in a Deadpool outfit. He was not hugely overweight, but he was overweight.
No, he was overweight, bro.
Okay, fine.
There's
being nice.
No way around it.
And he was not wearing a cup or anything, so his junk was, like, out.
Yeah, you saw the whole shape.
It was... come on, dude.
It looked like a squished banana with some plums.
Pretty much.
That was all. What was that? The dude dressed up in the orange suit next to him. He was like an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., like, but from like agent of Hydra.
Yeah, Bob, agent of Hydra.
Yeah, yeah.
One of Deadpool's sidekicks.
He also wasn't wearing a jock strap or anything down there. They were hanging out with their cocks out.
Cosplayers, do me a favor.
Please
buy a cup.
Yeah, wear a jock strap.
Jock strap, cup, tape it back, do whatever you got to do. Just don't show it.
Seriously, man.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see your angry little inch.
Especially when there's kids around, man. That's not cool.
Could you imagine kids are like, what is that?
Why are you Spider-Man so happy?
What's that weird lump in his crotch here?
just don't do it, guys. Come on.
Yeah, if you're wearing anything spandex, dudes, please wear a jock strap. Do yourself a favor. Your dick's not that great looking.
That's right. You know what else I did Friday night before we talk about...
Chicks, on the other hand, do whatever the fuck you want. I don't care.
Amazing. Before Amazing Comic Con on Friday night, Sean came over and Justin came over, and I recorded the 10-year anniversary episode of MSRcast.
10 fucking years.
10 fucking years I've been podcasting, man. Can you believe that?
Longer than the godfather of podcasting himself.
It's right. Yeah. Kevin Smith was actually jealous when he heard that I've been podcasting longer than him.
Yeah.
It's great. I was like, all right.
Now you one-upped him. So anytime you ever talk to him ever again, you're like, yeah, I'm that dude that one-upped you.
That's right. It was pretty cool for him to
you're
be like...
You're that guy.
It was definitely a cool moment for Kevin Smith to look up to me for something, because it's totally the other way around.
Well, yeah. I mean, because he really loves podcasting. Yeah. That's like, I think other than making movies, I think this is like his first love.
Yeah. Same here.
Maybe his kid, too.
Well, yeah. We got to throw the kid in there somewhere. throw the kid in a movie. Show her how much you love him.
Yeah, he's making a movie for his fucking kids.
Pretty
so.
Much. Yoga hosers.
Yeah.
So Saturday we just walked around, and you know, Sunday was our main day. I didn't have time to pull any comics to get signed or anything like that. So Sunday, I brought a bunch of comics from Howard.
What comics did you want to get signed?
Well, I have the whole run, except one issue of the original Star Wars series from the 70s all the way into the 80s.
And who was there?
Howard Chaykin, the original artist from the Star Wars, starting like 78,
like the Marvel Star Wars.
Marvel Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
He was such a cool dude, too.
Yeah, he was very cool about it.
Because, I mean, Justin at one point on Saturday was like, hey, how much would you charge for an autograph? He's like, what did he say? He's like, that's stupid. Why would I charge for an autograph?
He cursed. And he's like, fuck no, I don't charge.
He did.
Yeah, something like that.
And he looked straight at Rob Liefeld when he said that shit, too.
Yeah, because Rob Liefeld charged $40 a signature.
$40 to sign anything Deadpool, he would
but
charge
anything
you
anything else was free, though.
Yeah. Come on, dude.
So if you had, like, a cable thing...
Maybe, yeah.
Could you get around it that way?
You can't give Rob Liefeld too much shit. I mean, people give him a lot of heat and a lot of shit all over the internet, but he created two of my favorite characters. He created Deadpool, and he created Cable.
Yeah.
So give him credit for that.
Sure. Why not? And he's really nice to his fans.
That's true.
Like, the way he does his Q&A, he doesn't, like, do it like a standard Q&A where people have to stand in line. He literally wait for people to raise their hands.
He'll grab his mic and just come out to the audience.
He walks straight to you and talks to you and then hangs out with you for, like, 2 seconds.
Yep. Looks you straight in the eye while you ask him a question.
Sort of. I mean, because he bounces around a lot.
It's true, he does.
And he can never stay on one topic, even when he's answering a question.
So on Sunday, I got the first 10 issues of the original Star Wars series autographed by Howard Chaykin.
That's cool.
I got my kick-ass graphic novel autographed by
John Romita Jr. To do that, and I forgot mine at home.
John Romita Jr. was nice. Both Justin and I both gave him a business our Metal Geeks our podcast cards, like business cards. He's like, I'll make sure to listen to it as long as you don't say anything negative about me.
So don't say anything negative.
We're not
about
saying anything negative about you, man. We love your work.
Other than Kick-Ass 2 could have been better. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just joking.
Great.
Yeah, I did. I loved Kick-Ass.
I love all the Kick-Ass stuff. It all kicks ass.
Does it all kick ass? Did you like the Hit Girl spinoff series? I like that one a little bit better than the actual Kick-Ass 2 storyline.
What about Kick-Ass 3?
I didn't read that one yet. Is it good?
It's good.
That's the one where she goes to jail, right?
I believe so. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I haven't read it.
I haven't
yet.
Picked up the graphic novel, but I've read the digital versions of them before.
Cool. I wanted to read that.
I like the Kick-Ass series. I like the movies, too.
Yeah. I just wish the second one did better in theaters so we could get a third one to kind of round it off, but...
I agree.
Oh, well. It is what it is. Or at least the Hit Girl movie or
who
something.
Who else do we meet? We interviewed Murat Michaels, who's a Deadpool artist who...
Yeah, you have...
I have a piece of his artwork hanging on my wall. Deadpool there. Core number 6 was one of his issues. He's a really cool guy. We're going to actually have him come on the show as a full episode down the road because he's working on his top secret creator-owned series.
Didn't you do an interview with him?
We did. So we're going to actually go ahead and get into that interview right now. Here's Murat Michaels. We are here from the show floor of the amazing Houston Comic Con, and I am here with Murat Michaels, artist from the past of Deadpool and some of my favorite characters. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How has Houston been for you on this trip?
Unbelievable. You know, not to be cliche, pretty amazing.
Ah, I see what you did there. So I know we talked about when you were here a couple months ago, we went into the main topic I want to talk to you about is a Deadpool movie coming up. So you were there sort of when Rob was creating the character. What was that experience? What did it feel like when that happened? Did you know something was happening like this?
No, not at all. I mean, Rob brought in the sketches. I was his assistant at the time, and he was like, what do you think of this character? I was like, oh, he looks awesome. I was like an 18-year-old kid. But you had no idea that he was going to become the phenomenon he's become. I mean, there's no way to tell something like that, you know?
What do you think is it's been that, you said, a phenomenon? Why do you think Deadpool is that character for a lot of people?
I think it's because he transcends comics. He's just kind of cool looking. Plus, he's like the Spider-Man of our generation, or of this generation, rather. I'm old, so not our generation. But he's like the current age Spider-Man. He's a smart ass. He's funny. He's relatable. You know, I think it's because he's not like Superman or Batman. He's not perfect. Because he's so flawed, I think people kind of gravitate towards him. Plus, the design is just unbelievably cool. You know?
Yeah. The movie finally got greenlit. It's coming out in less than like 6 months. What are you expecting from this actual feature film now?
It's going to be spectacular. Any Deadpool fan is going to love it. I got a chance to go down to Blur Studios about 2 weeks ago and check out some stuff. And it's if you're a Deadpool fan, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah, just from watching the trailer and knowing about a little bit what's going on, it's a lot of fan service for the hardcore diehard fans.
Yeah, well, it's like I said, the script is exactly what any Deadpool fan would want. It's hilarious. It's got awesome action, as you've seen in the trailer. I think Ryan Reynolds is actually the perfect actor when they let him talk. So it just looks phenomenal. As a fan, I can't wait to go see it.
Now tell me about your experience working on the character. One of my favorite series was Deadpool Core. I just love the team aspect of that series. Tell me about your experience working on that comic.
It was great being able to follow Rob on the book and finish it out. That was really fun. And Victor Gishler, who wrote it, I would get the scripts and I would literally laugh out loud as I read through them. And then I'd have to read them a second time to actually figure out what I have to draw because I couldn't stop laughing the first time around. And it's cool just to be able to... I loved Dogpool. He was fun to draw. It was just... I think they need to bring the book back. I mean, I volunteer to draw it if they do, but if not, I'll read it.
I'll volunteer to buy it.
Yeah, there you go. That's two people. I'll buy a copy. You buy a copy. That's two people that will buy copies. Sales are beginning.
Exactly. Sometimes you only need two people to start something.
We're starting a revolution. Deadpool Corp needs to come back.
So what are you working on right now? What's your main goal right now?
Well, I've been doing a lot of comic circuit stuff, Comic-Con circuit, so I've been traveling a lot, but I also just finished up 6 issues of a book called Zen, the Intergalactic Ninja, which was a big 90s hit that they're revamping. That's over at First Comics Devils Do, and that's coming out in November, I believe, the first of 6 issues. Just finished that up, and I'm working on some creator-owned stuff that I'll be announcing later on in the year. So, and doing a Deadpool Winnie the Pooh parody called Do You Poo? It's a one-shot. Everybody should poo. It's good for you. And my buddy Terry Sala, who happens to be sitting right next to me, wrote it. And it's hilarious. And if you catch me or Terry on the con circuit, we're going to get Terry out on the con circuit. You should definitely buy a copy and have a good laugh. Or flip it on eBay to go for a lot of money.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to your creator-owned stuff. I mean,
What's the big difference between actually owning, be able to do what you want, and, you know, it's like when you get a Deadpool script, you're sort of forced to do what you're told to do. What's the big difference for you?
Well, obviously, what you just said, the fact is I can wake up, you know, in the morning and go, I want to draw so-and-so riding in a Jeep through a desert and a dinosaur attacks him. And if I can somehow work that into my story, I mean, technically that could happen in Deadpool too. But if I can somehow work it into my story, I can draw it that day. Whereas opposed to working for Marvel or DC or any specific publisher, you have to draw what's on, you know, the page. So it's the creative freedom is pretty cool. Plus, it's fun to kind of introduce new characters and new concepts to people and see if they like them or not. You know, so it's kind of, you know, being on the trapeze without the safety net.
Do you have a favorite story from your time working with Marvel?
As far as actual books themselves?
Yes.
Just anything Deadpool Corp was hilarious. It was just really fun. I think my fill-in issue, which was Deadpool Corp's number 6, is my favorite one that I did.
I have an actual... I think the first time I ever met you, I bought a page from that
oh,
issue.
Oh, nice. Nice. Can I buy it back? I want it back now. yeah, that was actually my favorite one. That was just a really fun story. And the first time I had a chance to draw the whole corp professionally, that was really fun. Yeah.
Now, where can people get a hold of you on social media and find your work?
You can find me on Facebook, Murat Michaels. You can find me as Murat1200. That's 1200 on Instagram. I post some selfies. So please do take a look and like. And a lot of work, a lot of sketch covers. And also you can find me on Twitter at Murat Michaels at Twitter or at Murat Michaels on Twitter.
Well, thank you for spending some time with us, and Deadpool lives on.
Nice, always. Helps pay my rent.
Thank you, sir.
Balls. Welcome back to the show. Balls was very soft in the background. We just heard an interview that we did at the Amazing Comic Con with Murat Michaels. Really cool guy. He's so much fun to talk to. I can't wait for him to come on the show when we just get to know him a little bit better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's a very cool dude.
So whenever you're...
we got a lot of pictures with him, too.
Yeah, I know. I had to post some of those. So whenever your creator-owned series comes out, and you need a Kickstarter, whatever you're going to do, come back on the show. We'll talk shop, and we'll geek out with you, man. Yeah, definitely. Another artist that I was really excited for, I met this guy at Comic Palooza 2014.
His name is Abraham, right?
Abraham Lopez.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a big Disney nerd like me.
Yeah, he had a named Disney
tag. He has
tag.
A Disney name tag. He wears his Disney name tag. But if you ever seen that, the artwork of the Haunted Mansion with the Batman characters.
Yeah.
From the stretching room portraits.
Yeah, yeah.
He did that. It's hanging on my wall right there. And, you know, T-Fury actually even did... prints of those.
Oh, really?
At one point.
Like
yeah.
For t-shirts or
mm-hmm.
what?
And what he had a brand new piece of artwork that I was super excited when I saw it in his portfolio.
Oh, yeah? What was
it's
it?
It's the Hatbox Ghost from Haunted Mansion.
That's, you said that never got released until recently, right?
Well, I'm not the world expert on it, but this character was designed way back when that ride opened in the late 60s, early 70s. It opened like in 71.
Mm-hmm.
It was been designed... Here's the weird thing about Haunted Mansion. It took like almost 10 years for the ride actually to open.
Was it scary?
They were starting to work on it, and then, you know, Walt Disney passed away, and they continued to work on it.
Is that why his ghost roams the ride?
Apparently. But the Secrets of the Weird graphic novel that came out last year, Disney, is based on some of the Rolly Crump original artwork that was supposed to be in the original version of the ride.
I gotcha.
Never made it. Which was supposed to be a walkthrough attraction. But the Hatbox Ghost was in the attraction briefly, like, I won't even say like a couple of weeks before they realized it wasn't going to work.
Why? What was, why did it work?
There was mechanical problems, all that kind of stuff, I believe.
Oh, I see.
And it's been like a character everybody loved, and they tested the waters a few years ago with D23. They brought like a moving version of it, not quite an animatronic, but it was like a test version of it.
Like a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic?
And I got a picture in front of it. Yeah, well, it wasn't that bad. But they tested the water out with some merchandise and that kind of stuff, and it did really, really well.
Of course, because Disney nerds go crazy over that.
Exactly.
Shit.
And Disney nerds definitely go crazy over limited edition merchandise. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I do. In myself. But
Obviously. Anyone
look
who's
around.
Seen your office would know
but
that.
But they brought him back this year for the 60th anniversary of Disneyland. and he's actually a full version. I mean, I'm excited to see it. I was sort of worried because we are going in December when the Haunted Mansion has the Haunted Mansion Holiday, the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay.
Yeah, and you're afraid he's not.
He wasn't going to be there, but I was listening. This is how geeky I get on this stuff. Inside the Magic had a couple weeks ago. They posted this audio from a panel that was at a con in LA called Scary LA, which was basically like haunted houses and that kind of stuff.
But yeah,
they had a Haunted Mansion panel, and Tony Baxter, legendary Imagineer, was there, and a couple other Imagineers were on this panel, and somebody asked him in the audience, will the Hatbox Ghost stay during the holiday season? And he said, yes, we are working out a way for him to be visiting Nightmare Before Christmas to make it work.
Oh, cool.
I'm like, okay, cool. At least I get to see it.
Yeah, I really want to go with you to...
You should come.
Disneyland that Christmas time.
You should go.
I gotta make it work out with my new work schedule since I'm starting another new job.
That's right, you are. Starting like next week?
Yeah, on the 21st.
Wow, good luck.
Yeah. A lot of changes happening.
That's right.
Yeah. Hopefully everything for the better.
I hope so, man. So let's get into some topics.
Topics.
That was our exciting time at Amazing Comic Con.
Yeah.
We have one more interview to play. We just blew through it.
You forgot to mention
it. We have the interview with...
We got sidetracked by Hatbox Ghost. I know,
Hatbox Ghost. Let's play our interview with Abraham Lopez right now, artist extraordinaire of Haunted Mansion stuff that I love. Back on the show floor at Amazing Houston Comic Con, I am here with one of my favorite artists that I've discovered, Abraham Lopez.
That's me.
Artist Abe Lopez on all the social medias, Artist Abe on everything else, Artist Abe Lopez on the Facebook, you go, and Artist Abe everywhere else. I discovered you because, you know, I'm a huge fan of the Haunted Mansion. I know you are as well.
Me too, yeah.
Exactly. That's how I discovered your artwork, because I have this great piece hanging on my wall of... the Batman characters from the stretching room portraits. How did you come up with these ideas for, and have you had any, what kind of reactions have you had to this stuff?
Oh, okay, let's see. Well, I came up with it because, well, I'm in a Disneyland annual pass holder. I go there a lot. So it happened when I was in the stretching room, actually. It's like, oh, it'd be cool if I was in like a Batman phase, like a really strong Batman phase. I just thought it'd be fun just to mix Batman in there somehow. But I didn't really know how. But then it all started with a Clayface as the quicksand.
Yeah.
And then from there, everything just started coming into place. Like, oh, Joker, and then Harley Quinn on the tightrope and everything. And so far, the Disney fans have really reacted strongly to it. Batman fans, too, even though they haven't even been on the ride. Like, people will come by, and they'll ask for the piece. They won't know where it's from. They'll just go, oh, can I get this? The circus piece. I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, you're probably thinking about this one. I'm like, okay. But they still appreciate it. So, all around, very positive reaction.
And it turned into a T-shirt from T-Fury, right?
It has, yeah. Thankfully, they enjoyed it enough to approach me with it, and I gladly accepted it. They're really cool guys, by the way. So I always love supporting those guys.
And I bought a piece from you yesterday, which is the Hatbox Ghost. And if you are a Haunted Mansion Disney nerd like we are, you know the history of that character, who's actually now back in the ride.
He is. And I understand you're going to see him, right?
I'm going in December, so yeah. I haven't actually seen him live yet. So tell me about the first experience of seeing the Hatbox Ghost back in the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, it was a surprising experience because, like, I didn't know exactly where he was going to pop up, but they dedicated a corner to him, and it's so refreshing and exciting to see something new there. And it kind of stands out a lot as far as technology-wise, but just the fact to see him there, because you'd see art about him, like old concept art with him all the time, and it's sad that you don't see him actually in the Haunted Mansion anymore until now.
It was so weird. It was a character that hadn't been in the park since, like, the early 70s. It was only there for, like, what, a couple of months? Not even a week or something.
Yeah.
And it's had this such allure. And, I mean, people, they made merchandise to test the waters, and they finally brought him back for the 60s.
Yeah. And now they're bringing back merchandise again, and people are just eating it up, including me, like magnets and original painted art, painted cells.
Yeah, T-Fury the other day was a Hatbox Ghost shirt.
Yeah, made by my friend Ben Buddha. Go check her out, yeah.
All right, great.
She's at Dragon Con right now, but Her art's still up there, looking awesome.
Cool. Yeah, and it's still available there. I checked it out. It's not the deal of the day, but it's still available. So I'm actually ordering one. I'm going to wear it to the park.
Excellent, excellent. I hope to make one myself, too.
So besides the Haunted Mansion stuff you do, you have a lot of Batman stuff, a lot of Harley stuff. Mm-hmm. What inspires you? How do you decide on what the next piece you're going to design is?
Oh, it really has to do with what I'm interested in. Because if I'm doing a piece on a character that I don't really care about, you'll see it in the piece that there's no motivation in it and not too much creativity. But it's usually the same themes. Like, let's see, Batman, Disney, a lot of DC characters. I'm a big Marvel fan, but I have more interest in DC characters. Like Shazam, that's such a cool concept. You know, say a word and you turn into this character. Let's see, what else? I'm a big fan of horror, and I'm slowly bleeding into it. Like, I have an Elvira pieces, and I have,
The Wednesday Addams.
Yeah. I definitely want to do a Bela Lugosi Dracula piece, so that'd be awesome.
Any other attractions or Disneyland things that you want to put your stamp on?
something with Splash Mountain, something with teacups, because those are my favorite rides, especially during the summer. But not after you eat, of course.
We could see an X-Men Pirates mashup, maybe.
That could be fun. Can you make a song with it?
Not off the top of my head, but okay. I'm sure we could figure something out.
Yeah, we'll
make... Without Disney suing us, of course.
Yeah, of course. You'll have to do the sing-along when I present it in a video or something.
Exactly right. So what's next for you? What's next on your agenda?
Cons. Alamo City Comic Con coming up next week. And then Stanley's Kamikaze. Back in L.A., and then Designer Con in Pasadena. It's a very toy-driven comic convention, but not really comic convention, just convention. And then after that, I guess, like, art-wise, I'm hoping to do a webcomic, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, any help you ever need in the future, man, we're here for you.
Ooh, support, eh? Oh, shucks. Thanks, guys.
All right. So one last thing, let's let everybody know again where they can find you, like where they can purchase your stuff online, all that good stuff.
Oh, you can purchase my stuff on Etsy, my online store at Artist Abe, and you can find my other works on DeviantArt.com. Just type in Artist Abe there also, as well as on Instagram and Redbubble and Tumblr and Facebook. So yeah.
All right, cool. Thank you very much, man. And I mean,
thank you, guys.
I have your pieces hanging on my wall, so it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you so much. Do people say awesome things about it?
I do. That's all that matters.
Every morning, right?
Every morning, I look
with a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
I hear it. By the way, I feel it. My ears are burning every morning.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're back.
And we are back. Thank you, Abraham Lopez, for coming on the show. It was a great interview.
Yeah, he was a funny dude.
Really cool.
I liked a lot of his artwork too. I looked through his portfolio while you were interviewing him.
He has a lot of Adventure Time stuff, or
he has a mixture of everything. He has a little bit of like Batman stuff, Superman stuff,
a lot of Batman.
But he does it in his own style, which I really like, and it's a very comedic style.
Exactly.
Everything has
over exaggerated.
It's very satirical.
Satirical.
Is that the right word? Yeah, satirical is the word I'm looking for.
So big thanks to Abraham, and big thanks to Murat Michaels, big thanks to Jimmy J, who we interviewed for Adventures of Geekery, who is
for the Amazing Con.
He's like the promoter and
co-developer, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. He's one of the main guys behind the
big
whole
wig
thing.
Behind Amazing Con.
And he talks. We can probably actually we'll play that on another episode or something. We'll play the interview from that, the full interview. Because he talks about some of the
people want to check it out. They can always just watch the episode from Adventures.
But it won't
Geekery.
Be the full interview though.
No,
it'll be cut down for format.
It's all right.
Yeah.
All the important information that they would like to listen to is there.
So I want to give big thanks to Justin Corbett for hanging out with us and to Lord Horstocles for getting into our videos.
Yeah.
First appearance of Lord Horstocles from Comical Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
We caught him in the wild. Big thanks to
natural habitat.
Big thanks to JJ from Comic Luther for hanging out with us. That was cool.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fun. I love going to cons, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're fun places.
I was tired on Saturday, though.
You know what? It was just a long day that day.
You know, because I've talked about this on the show. Thanks to Paul Barry from Window to the Magic, who was another one of the Disney podcasts that I listened to. He's lost a bunch of weight recently by walking. He walks a minimum of 10,000 steps per day, and I've been trying to catch up to that.
Oh, yeah?
This past week has been a little sketchy, but Saturday I walked 17,000 steps on Saturday.
Holy shit. Because
I got up, I did my 3 miles, and then I did like 5 more miles during the day, so... crazy amount of...
No wonder you were tired.
I was exhausted on Saturday night.
So yeah, one thing I wanted to mention about the con that I read, there's this thing, a Facebook group, or I think it's a Facebook group.
Rate That Con?
Yeah, Rate That Con. Yep.
I haven't looked to see what they said.
A lot of people were kind of upset because I guess merchants didn't do well this time around. And I can kind of see where they were coming at, because when we went Saturday, it was kind of dead when we first got there.
It wasn't completely dead. It just wasn't, super busy.
It wasn't
Sunday
super busy.
Sunday was busy because it was kids' day.
Yeah.
And all the artists that were there from, like, Phineas and Ferb comic book. And, Gravity Falls. Or
Gravity Falls
sketches.
Voice artist, the voice guy. The
guy who created it.
Yeah.
They were doing free sketches that day.
Oh, were they really? Yeah, I didn't know they were doing free sketches. Yeah. That's so awesome.
I know. I really
love Gravity Falls. You ever watch it?
I have not watched that yet.
It's a great show. It's a great show. Right along with Adventure Time, I think you would love it.
I'm really into Rick and Morty right now, so.
Oh, yeah. I've been egging you on about watching that show.
Yep. You let me borrow the first season on the Blu-ray.
Yeah, I love it.
On the Blu-ray.
On the Blu-ray.
I sounded really old when I said that.
On the Blu-ray?
Watch something on the Blu-ray.
On that Blu-rays.
On the internet.
On the what the fuck's the internet?
I don't know. What the fuck is the internet?
I can kind of see why people were kind of complaining. But on our end, we had a good time. I bought stuff. I bought some comics.
That's right. What did you get?
I got East of West. I got Nailbiter.
You got the graphic novel of them, right?
Yes. These are all recommendations from Justin. He was like helping me out pick out some stuff.
Yeah. And one of the cheap tables.
It wasn't cheap. I mean, it was cheaper than the cover price. Yeah, it's cheaper than the cover price. It would be like $10 off or $5 off the cover price. And what else did I get? I got Birthright. I think that was it. And
have you read that one yet? Have you read any of them?
I haven't read any of them yet. They're sitting on my nightstand. I just haven't made time for it yet. Anybody who's read those things, you know, I heard they're all great.
Did you get a Marvel something?
I did. I got a Deadpool one, too. I got the Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah. That's a good series.
Yeah, I heard it was funny as hell, so I'm going to check that out, too.
Cullen Bunn, isn't it?
Is it the writer?
Yeah, the writer.
Oh, okay.
I believe. Maybe.
Anything called love?
I do not believe in a thing called love.
Oh, you should tell that to your wife, then. Kim, he doesn't believe in a thing called love.
I don't believe in love.
Just saying.
Queensryche, come on. Metal show, come on.
Oh, is that what that is?
Let's segue into our topic of the evening.
What topic is that?
Let's go into George Hates Metal.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So this is something that was picked out by Dave. This is the new ghost.
The sickly man.
The guy that can't be here. He actually was talking about how good it was at Amazing Comic Con. He's like, oh, you got to listen to it. I'm like, I've listened to him before, but I've never really been a huge fan.
Uh-huh. Why are you not a huge fan?
Why was I not? I don't know. I just thought there's so much stuff behind him right now. People are so into Ghost. I'm like, it's just...
A fad kind of deal? You feel like it's a fad?
Maybe. I don't know. I've heard a couple songs. And I'm like, oh, it's good. It's like 70s era, you know, production and like Blue Oyster Cult feeling.
It definitely has that the tempo of like old rock songs.
Yeah, it's very old 70s fuzzy rock, you know, but... Yeah.
Which I like. Honestly, I like that kind of stuff.
It's produced that way to sound old. Not saying that negatively at all. But the new album is called Meliora. They dropped the BC off their name because at one point they had to go by Ghost BC.
Why?
I have no idea. There's a whole...
Was there another band called Ghost, probably?
I don't know. There's probably a whole thing behind that. We'll get into that later. But
there's another favorite band of mine called Death From Above 1979.
Yeah.
They originally were called Death From Above, but there's another band called Death From Above, so they changed their name from Death From Above 1979.
There's a band that I used to be really into, an all-female metal band called Drain, and they had to change their name to Drain STH because they were all from Stockholm, Sweden.
Oh, nice.
And the singer left the band to marry Tony Iommi.
I don't know who that is.
Guitar player from Black Sabbath.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm bad with names.
I can tell.
He's the Jerry Carroll looking dude. I know who he is.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
So let's talk about Meliora. What did you think about this album?
I didn't get the chance to listen to the whole album, but we
picked out some choice cuts.
Yeah, we listened to like five songs.
And we watched the video for Cerise.
Yes, Cerise.
I like that video. It's very cool.
It has a Carrie kind of feel to it, like an old school Carrie movie.
Yeah. I mean, the stylistic stuff they did. where they, you know, they desaturated everything and then they put like the effect over it, it made it look
like an older horror film.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
A narrative style video in this day and age is something I love.
I hate it when all they show is just the band singing or
and they didn't even have the real band in it. It was like kids playing
Well, apparently that's the shtick for the band, right? Like they don't like to show their faces.
They don't show their faces. It's the shtick. So you never know who is actually. It's a character thing, you know what I mean? It's a whole shebang.
Right.
You don't know who they are. I've heard rumors that
it's like Gorillaz or Daft Punk.
Or exactly right.
Yeah, I get it. Or I mean, kind of like Slipknot. They always wear the masks.
Yeah, but you know who they are.
Yeah, you know who they are now.
But you don't know who these guys are at all.
Yeah, you don't even know what they kind of look like because they wear like these really heavy, overbearing masks.
And then like the singer, when I'm trying to think what his name he goes by, Pope or something like that.
I don't know. He just looks like a demonic priest.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he like the video. Another video we saw. He actually wears like a latex mask.
Oh yeah, it's like he looks like the not Motorhead. What's that band? Judas Priest. It looks like the face of this lead singer, Judas Priest.
Really? Rob Halford?
Yeah, it kind of does.
With a mustache?
If you look at it, without a mustache and Ray-Ban glasses, that's what it looks like.
Pope Emeritus III is the new singer.
Are they, like, chain singers constantly?
Yeah, so apparently they're saying there's three people in the band. They're on the third Pope Emeritus, and the background players like the drummer and the guitar player, they're just called Nameless Ghouls. So there's five of those, and there's rumors that Dave Grohl is involved with this band.
Right on,
yeah.
And you would never know.
No. Man, so I mean, they're a lot of fun. I like them. I need to go back and really listen to some of their older stuff now. That I sort of like. Oh, I don't want to listen to that.
So. Listening to the five songs, my review, I would say they're pretty good. There are a few songs that the singer was kind of boring in, and I don't mean to piss anyone off who's like a diehard fan of the singer. Maybe he's just one of those singers that that kind of grows on you or something, but his voice is a little boring to me at times. With the exception of that one song, Cyrus, I think. Is it Cyrus? The one that has the music video?
Cyrus.
I liked his voice on that one, kind of. But there are times where you feel like he's really going to belt it out and feel the song, but he just kind of melodically skips through it. And it kind of feels like a little over-rehearsed.
Would you listen to more of them?
I definitely want to check out the whole album now that I know what they sound like. Just so I can kind of give, like, a definitive yes or no.
It is catchy, though. It's very catchy.
Yeah, especially that single that they had was really catchy. I loved the riff in the song. It was great.
It's retro stuff.
Which I like. You know that I like that kind of stuff.
I do.
So it feels like Dave kind of picked this out for me specifically.
Another easy one for you.
Yeah.
So check this out. This is according to the master of all internet, Wiki, which is, you know, it's always true. The group's vocalist portrays the band's mascot character, a satanic priest known as Papa Emeritus. There have been three different characters taking the name, each younger than the last. The second welcomed his younger brother as the new Papa Emeritus on June 3rd, 2015 in Linkoping after being quote-unquote fired due to not performing his duties and overthrowing governments and churches.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Did they write that bio themselves?
I guess so. I don't know.
So, in other news,
apparently Jack Osborne, the one who said a member of the band said that Dave Grohl has dressed up as a nameless ghoul and secretly performed with Ghost.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dave Grohl likes to do weird shit like that all the time.
He does.
What was that one metal project he had? Probot?
Probot. I love Probot.
Yeah, that was fun.
That's a great
fucking downloaded that album after you like introduced it to me.
It's a great album.
It is fun.
It's like all my favorite heavy metal vocalists playing with Dave Grohl.
Yeah, pretty much.
One of my favorite songs of all time is on that album, My Tortured Soul, from Eric Wagner from Trouble.
I have to hear it. I don't have the track list memorized.
That's one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah, it's a fun CD. I love listening to it. I always listen to it in the car.
So before we move on to some geeky topics, let's talk about metal for a minute. Let's talk about...
Since it is in the name.
It is. Let's talk about the 10-year anniversary of MSRcast.
Uh-oh.
So the cool thing is...
How does it feel being 10 years old?
It feels pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty damn good, man.
Yeah?
So it's it was a very, like, very cool episode. I had... we put the word out for people to call in and... You know, leave congratulatory, you know, messages and things like that.
Yeah. You wanted me to call in as Mickey, and
I did.
By the time I got your message, it was already too late. And I was like, oh, well.
It's never too late.
I'm not going to do it now.
But, okay, so, like, I mean, I had people that I grew up listening to call in and leave messages. Like, Joey Vera from Armored Saint left a message, which was really cool. I had, you know, Kyle Thomas, who's now the lead singer from A Trouble, leave a message. Larry from November's Doom, and a lot of local podcasters and friends of mine. It was a little overwhelming for how many people responded to it. A lot of local musicians. Very, very cool stuff, man. So the first, we had Sean, and then, you know, I had Justin come on because he's a metalhead.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted that three-person, you know, camaraderie.
Kind of like what we have on this show.
Exactly
except
right.
For tonight.
And we had a very special
looking
guest.
Looking at you, Dave.
Yes, I know, right? Where looking. Are you, Dave? Get better. we had John Michael, former co-host of this show, as well as MSRcast, come on for a segment. It was very cool.
Back the ex-girlfriend.
Calling back the ex-girlfriend, that's right. Hey, Jam. It was cool, though, man.
It
was definitely worth it.
I wanted to be on that show, and I didn't know you wanted me on the show that night. And I made plans thinking you didn't want me on the show.
I texted you, and I was like, what time are you going to get here? You're like, what?
I'm like, what are you talking about? Because I thought you were talking about we're going to do a segment for Metal Geeks. I'm like, okay, cool. That's not going to be until next week. And he's like, what time are you going to be here? I'm like, I'm on the other side of town, bro. I'm not going to make it.
Yeah.
So
I know how much you appreciate it.
I apologize. I really wanted to be here for that. That would have been fun.
So yeah, I mean, check it out. It comes out.
Were you a little sentimental about it? Did you shed a tear?
I did a little bit because like, a couple of the voicemails were very emotional.
Really,
I was
really?
Like, wow.
Like what? Which one was your favorite? I'm sure all of them are your favorite, but which one hit you the most?
Long-time listeners, man.
Yeah?
I had some long-time listeners, like Brian Hogan.
What were some of the things that they said?
One of our Brian Hogan. You'll have to listen to it for yourself to find out. I'm not going to give it away now.
Oh, come on.
Why spoil it?
At least tease it a little bit.
No, not going to tease it. But I'm just very appreciative of, you know, everybody that called in. And just we had a blast doing it. We played some music from our childhood that meant a lot from us.
Like what? What'd y'all play?
We played Anthrax, which was definitely
for
me.
Yeah, you're a huge Anthrax fan.
The first power metal band that I ever heard was Helloween. One of the early death metal bands that I ever heard was a local Houston band called Dead Horse. And I was a huge fan of these guys. I saw every single show during high school.
Yeah?
And the bass player actually left a message, which was really cool.
Oh, yeah? What did he
like,
say?
You'll have to listen and find out.
Is the episode not done? Is it not up?
It will be out tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
We're recording this on a Thursday. This episode will come out this coming up weekend. But Friday at noon, this will be going up on metalgeeks.net and of course our iTunes and as well. Hate to say it like this, but this is the last episode of MSRcast for Metal Injection.
Oh, okay.
So
at least we went out with a big fat bang.
I did go out with a bang. We've been there for 10 years, so it's time to move on and
time
to find other things to do.
Just because it's over doesn't mean like the show is over.
No, the show is not over by any stretch of the imagination. We're gonna keep on going. If anything, I got a fire lit under my ass for it.
There you go.
So we're going to do more episodes.
You should.
We're going to.
Yeah.
I ain't stopping.
Get Sean to work a little harder.
Sean works pretty damn hard, man.
I'm just joking.
I let Sean do all the work now.
I'm just giving him a
hard
time.
Come up with all the fucking topics. We'll just talk about what you want. I'm good with that.
There you go.
But yeah, so check out episode 173. It's our 10-year anniversary, man.
173 episodes.
Yep. We should be doing more, because if we didn't like every week, we would be like, I don't even know, like 500 or something like that. It'd be some crazy amount of numbers.
That's a lot of metal to talk about.
It is. It is a lot of metal. So, we sort of...
That's very cool. I'm sad I missed that event, man. I'm sorry. I feel bad now.
Now, what do you think about this? We talked about Black Sabbath a little bit. There's this article going around from Keith Richards saying that Metallica and Black Sabbath are jokes and rap is for tone-deaf people.
Are you sure he isn't tone deaf? Because the motherfucker's old as shit.
Yeah, I know, right? Come on, dude. Okay, quote. Here's a quote from Keys. Millions are in love with Metallica and Black Sabbath. I just thought they were great jokes. Wow.
Okay.
People aren't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's Keith fucking Richards. I mean,
he just dissed the Beatles recently in the news.
Did he really?
He talked shit about Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I mean, I know
band.
They were always like enemies kind of deal. Where there was like, you know, Rolling Stones versus
competition,
you know,
type of deal. Versus
the Beatles. Yeah. It was like Bad Boys versus the Clean Cut guys. That's how it always was for them. And I always thought that it was kind of like water under the bridge for them, but I guess not.
I do agree with this. He does say modern rock sounds like a dull thud.
A dull thud?
I can agree with that. Modern music is pretty fucking horrible. That's on popularized music.
You know what you sound like right about now?
I sound old, don't
you? You sound like a crotchety old man right about now.
Get off my lawn!
And he's just like, I don't like that mall metal. What is that mall metal?
That's true, I don't.
Yeah.
Mall metal is something I created. That's my term.
Yeah, I know.
It's metalcore, the jun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
When we start our band, that's what we're going to do.
No, we're not. There's no breakdowns in my band, man. No breakdowns. Let's talk about Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden's new album
CD
came out,
yeah.
The Book of Souls.
You know, out of the Iron Maiden album covers, this one's like the most lackluster cover I've ever seen.
That is true. A friend of mine at work actually showed me yesterday the full like Digipak version. It's like in a DVD case almost. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really amazing. But I think the new Iron Maiden will be George Hates Metal for next episode.
Oh no.
Yep.
Really? Is it good?
It is really good.
We listened to that one song and I didn't like it.
Too bad. You get to listen to the whole album now.
Wow. Awesome. Excited. I never really been a huge Iron Maiden fan, so this is not going to be fun for me.
And I just listened to an episode of Eddie Trunk podcast last week.
Who?
Eddie Trunk. He's a famous metal, like hard, I wouldn't say metal, but hard rock, you know.
Did he used to have a TV show?
Yeah, he has a show called The Metal Show.
Okay, I do know who that is.
I've interviewed him before, actually. He's actually a really nice guy, but he's not a really diehard. He doesn't like brutal vocals. He said that straight up. He'll say that every time.
Yeah.
But he did this really cool episode. It was like in New York. It was like there's an audience. It was at the Hard Rock Cafe with Bruce Dickinson. And go back and go listen to that episode, because Bruce really gets into his cancer, what happened and how he felt and what they did and all this kind of stuff. It's really very cool.
Okay.
So this album was recorded before he was diagnosed with cancer. He started
this album, the Iron Man.
Yeah, the one that just came out. And he felt something in his neck during the recording of it, but he decided to wait till afterward.
Oh, I see.
To get it checked out.
So you think that kind of had a lot to do with the way they wrote the album?
No, the album was already written and done before he had cancer.
Yeah, I know, but you said like he was feeling it while they were recording, and we decided to wait.
Well, he felt a lump or something.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you think that had something to do with the way they recorded the album?
I don't think so.
You think that impacted it in any way?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
But he's better now.
That's good.
And he's getting back into vocal shape, and they're going to be doing a full world tour next year, early next year.
And you're buying your tickets now?
If I can, I would. We saw them, 5 years ago-ish? 4 or 5 years ago? We took my niece.
They were in Greece one time when I was in Greece when I was a teenager.
Well, you should have gone. If you've never been to an Iron Maiden show, you've never been to
I've seen the commercials for it.
Okay, I'm telling you. If you've never been to an Iron Maiden show, you've never been to a heavy metal concert, no matter what.
Okay.
You're going when we're going to have an outing next time they come.
Okay.
It's going to be a Metal Geeks outing. We're going to go to Iron Maiden.
Okay.
Everybody's going to pitch in. We're going to start a Kickstarter to send George to Iron Maiden.
No, no one's going to fund that.
No.
Whatsoever. Everyone's going to be like, fuck that dude. I ain't going to just pay for him to go to a concert. I want to pay for me to go to a concert.
But you have to go, man. It's a lot of fun. Oh, who opened up for him last time? Was Coheed and Cambria.
Cambria.
Which was a weird combination of bands, but okay.
Well, I mean, I could kind of see the likeness a little bit. They have that eccentricness in their music sometimes.
Yeah, they do.
Especially when they came out with that album that had Welcome Home on it.
Okay, I know that song.
Yeah.
They played that song. Yeah.
He plays the double neck guitar and stuff.
So there's that new Iron Maiden to look forward to. It's pretty damn good.
Is it now?
You will find out.
That last song wasn't all that great. Just saying. All
right. Well, whatever. You don't like good music anyway, so.
I don't like good music.
We're just going to agree to disagree until you listen to it. Then we can really get your opinion.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
So let's move on to some geek news.
Geeky news. There's a lot of geeky news.
First of all, we sort of slipped up earlier. We said Wes Craven. I want to give a quick moment in remembrance of Wes Craven because I grew up on the Nightmare on Elm Street movies. I'm a huge fan. I love the Scream the movies. I actually really do.
They made more than three.
Well, I don't consider the last one.
They made like five movies.
Did they? I thought it was four.
No, it was five.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, the Scream trilogy.
I love the first Scream. The first Scream definitely broke the mold as far as horror movies go.
I mean, I think I mentioned this on, we were talking about him on MSRcast. One of my first big birthday parties I had, my mom took a bunch of my friends and dropped us off at the movie theater. We saw Nightmare on Elm Street 3 in the theater.
Is that the Nightmare Warriors or whatever?
No, that's 4.
Dream Warriors?
That's number 4.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Which one's the third one?
3D. Nightmare on Elm Street 3D.
Really?
I had my glasses for that for so long. I have the Blu-ray set now, which actually has the glasses in it.
Oh, really?
So
it has like the red and blue one?
It does, the polarized, whatever they're called.
Yeah, so did you ever watch his original stuff, Wes Craven stuff, like Last House on the Left?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, don't you ever feel dirty watching that movie?
No.
I do. That movie feels...
But he did some other stuff besides horror movie too, but...
What else did he do besides horror movies?
There was some drama he did, didn't he?
I'm sure he did he did that Red Eye movie. That technically was a thriller. It wasn't really a horror. Thriller.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
I wasn't a huge fan of that movie, but I mean, it was all right.
He was 76 years old. He had
died of cancer, right? Yeah.
Brain cancer, I think.
Yeah, it's sad.
Same thing my mom passed away from. That thing's fucking horrible.
So yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Wes Craven is, you know, very famous, created a lot of famous movies, famous characters.
He was working on a new Nightmare on Elm Street, too.
Was he really?
Yeah,
the remake?
Yeah, well, they were going to do a new remake.
Not the one with Jackie Earle Haley?
No. That's actually good. I like the one with Jackie Earle Haley.
I never saw it.
It's actually pretty damn good. It's not as good as the original, but
I saw the scene where they were the people of the town, the grown-up people were burning him, or let him burn. And I was like, yeah, I'm not watching this movie.
Apparently, there's only been Scream 4.
No, there's a fifth one, I promise you. There's one called Scream 5.
All right, I'm taking your word for it.
I think it's just called Scream, and at the end, it has 5 on it instead of an S. Or I could be wrong. Maybe there is only 4 Screams. I could have sworn there's a fifth Scream. Or maybe it's the TV show that I'm thinking about.
The TV show, that's right. I forgot about that.
TV show's retarded.
Is it?
Yeah, I watched a couple episodes. I'm like, yep, not going to watch this show.
Yeah, you're right. Red Eye, that's the name of the movie. I never saw that one.
I'm
going to have to check it out.
Has that what's-her-face in it.
He was an actor in Jan Silent Bob Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It had that actress in it? Really?
God, she's a famous actress, man.
Famous actress.
Yeah, and like, if I know her face. I can't think of her name right now. And it's going to come to me later. But it has the dude who plays Scarecrow.
Oh, Cillian Murphy?
Yeah, Cillian Murphy. Or Killian.
Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams, there you go.
I never saw this movie, actually.
It was okay.
I have to check it out.
Basically, he's trying to kill her on an airplane.
But,
end of story.
Right. So, thank you, Wes Craven, for making my childhood so gory. I appreciate it.
I love Nightmare on Elm Street, the original, and... He also started Johnny Depp's career.
He did.
So
thank you for Johnny Depp.
Yeah. And, you know.
For killing him inside of a bed.
And also, he was so inventive when it came to just doing things differently.
Apparently, he was a super nice guy.
Yeah.
I never actually met him, but I'm always a big fan of him.
You know, like, my favorite movies list of his would probably be Nightmare on Elm Street, Scream, Wes Craven's New Nightmare, and then The People Under the Stairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, did he do Serpent Rainbow too?
Serpent in the Rainbow?
Is it? I thought it was called Serpent's Rainbow, but I could be wrong.
I don't know.
But that was another movie I think he made. Or was that a John Carpenter movie? I get them two mixed up sometimes.
Music of the Heart. That's the one I was trying to think of. That's totally not a fucking horror movie.
I never even heard of that movie.
You never heard of that movie?
Music of the Heart?
Like Meryl Streep and shit?
Wes Craven? Directed,
yes.
And it's a drama?
Yes.
About what?
It's a horrible drama.
Drama?
Meryl Streep, Angela Bassett, Gloria Estefan, Horace Leachman. Come on.
It must be about music.
No. Yeah. Maybe it is.
It's in the title.
It's a drama, kids and family. It's a genre. So
maybe he did it for the money.
Maybe. I don't know if I want to watch it, though.
I won't watch it. Yeah. I have his favorites to live off of.
Exactly. I'll just pop in my Blu-ray of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Again, you know, you'll be missed.
Thank you. Thank you for all the love, man. The main big topic I want to discuss before we wrap it up tonight, it's the big shakeup with Kevin Feige and Marvel. You heard about this, right?
I've read some stuff, but I don't know the full details about it.
All right, so I can't tell you the guy's name. Ira something. He's apparently a huge cheap bastard.
Uh-huh.
Trying to think of the guy's name. Perlmutter. He used to be the CEO of, like, Toy Biz, and when Marvel was doing really, really bad and they were about to go bankrupt, he came in and started buying, like, all these other comic book companies and made Marvel big again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they tried to make movies and stuff like that, way back in the day in, like, the 90s and stuff.
And when they were selling off X-Men and Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's when they started selling off their properties. So he brought Marvel back from the dead, basically. You got to give him credit for that. But apparently he's known to be not the most nicest guy in the entertainment field, and really, really cheap. That's why...
Well, it's Hollywood. What do you
right,
expect?
Right, so he's in control of all Marvel stuff, including TV, comic books, toys, all that kind of stuff. So he was in charge of the movies, too. So there was Disney, and there was Perlmutter, and then there was Kevin Feige. So now Feige...
Kevin Feige was over the creative direction of where the movies and TV shows and all that stuff go.
No, just the movies, not the TV shows.
Really? I thought he was in TV shows, too.
Not really. So now he's broken away from what Marvel to have Marvel as their go-to person. So now he ports directly to Disney.
So Disney's
Alan Horn, who's like the main movie guy at Disney, who will greenlight anything. Here's a bunch of fucking money. That's the problem. Why?
It's why we have Cars 2.
That is true. I will give you that. But apparently one of the reasons why, you know, some of these people were wanting to leave the franchise is because of this one guy. Like,
really?
Robert
Downey Jr.?
I'm going to call him Ronnie James Dio. Robert Downey Jr. wanted...
Play Dio in a movie.
He could. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
He could totally play Dio in a movie.
That's why, like, Chris Evans and, you know, Hemsworth and all the people didn't get paid a lot in the first movie.
Chris Evans mentioned recently, like, if they want him back, he'll come back.
Well, yeah, now he will.
Yeah, now that he saw, oh, shit, I can make a fuckload of money.
So, they're just taking the next logical step in its integration with Disney now. They don't have to... They can go directly to the people with the money instead of, like, the middleman, basically. You know what I mean?
Which is...
Marvel. But... Marvel still has the right to the characters, but
not anymore since Disney owned those rights, right?
Yeah. And apparently the creative committee has been disbanded. This is a rumor. There's a reason I've read. This is the stuff that I've read. I'm not trying to be an expert on it or anything like that. It's the creative committee, which was Alan Fine. I'm sorry. It's the guy. Brian Michael Bendis, Dan Buckley, publisher of Marvel, and Joe Quesada. They were the ones that would get together and they read all these scripts and they give all
Quesadilla.
Joe Quesadilla. They would give all their feedback to all these scripts and everything. And apparently that's one of the reasons Edgar Wright left, because he's like, it's too much. I can't. They're trying to take my movie away from me.
Yeah, basically they didn't let him have control over the Ant-Man movie. I think that's why
and
he kind
of
left.
It was a lot to do with Perlmutter and I don't want to talk about any of those people, because I love those people.
Do you know? Are you just fishing for a job?
If they want to hire me, I'll take it.
I'm sure you would.
But so now Kevin Feige and the Marvel Cinematic Universe are away from Marvel. They are actually where they should be at Disney.
I mean, so what does that mean for the movies?
It's open season now. It basically anything they want to do, they're going to be able to happen. It's going to be pretty cool.
But wasn't that
launch exactly right?
I mean, wasn't that already the kind of the case though?
No, apparently not. You would think it would be
like after Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy. That should blow the doors open to say, "Hey, we want to do this." Okay.
Apparently, it didn't.
Well, you know, you read what Zack Snyder said, right?
You told me about this earlier. Yeah.
So I found that kind of funny. He made fun of, he didn't like make fun of Ant-Man, but kind of like called it like flavor of the week kind of deal.
Okay.
Which is kind of fucked up because I thought Ant-Man was one of my favorite movies of the summer.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, we need to do like our movie summer wrap up.
I think we'll do that next episode.
Yeah.
Well, with Dave is here for sure.
Dave.
I miss you, Dave. Where you at, man?
Don't be sick, bro.
Get better.
Yeah, don't bring that sickness here. No, I don't have no sick days, bro.
Me either. I'm saving all my sick days for Disney.
So anyway, in the article, someone asked Zack Snyder what he thought of what Spielberg said about superhero movies. And superhero movie says, just like the Westerns, they had their heyday and they're going to eventually kind of fade out. And Zack Snyder said, yeah, I kind of agree, but Batman and Superman doesn't fall in that because, again, they're Batman and Superman, the most recognizable comic book characters in the world. And
I agree that, you know, there will be comic book movie fatigue soon, but not yet.
I don't know. I mean, they do have a point.
Yeah.
Ultron didn't do that great.
No. Well, Ultron wasn't as good as it should have been.
No, it wasn't.
It's probably having to do with that story we just talked about, too.
Yeah.
They probably had a lot of notes and a lot of, you can't do that, let's do it this way. And now, I just imagine what kind of movie Ultron would have been was if it was made now with Disney directly in charge of it.
A lot more merchandising.
Well, I don't think that's ever going to be. That's never going to change. Disney not do merchandising? Come on.
But anyway, what he did say about Ant-Man was like, our movie is not going to be anything like, you know, like Ant-Man, where it's kind of like Blank Man, like superhero of the flavor of the week kind of deal.
Right.
However, when you do say Blank Man, the first thing I think of is the Damon Wayne movie.
The movie was actually funny.
I love that movie. I actually own it on DVD.
I have not seen that in a long time.
Damon Wayans is coming into town.
That's true. You going to go?
I might, if I have time and can afford it. I'll bring my Blank Man and Major Payne DVDs, have them sign.
I saw Major Payne in the Dollar Theater back in the day.
But anyway, I hope Zack Snyder is not trying to get too big for his britches here. I mean, he is making superhero movies whether he likes it or not. Yes, they are a higher pedigree of superhero movies. They're not like lower tier characters, but nonetheless, there are superhero movies.
So I got a question for you. How do you think the audio in this episode has been? Been pretty good?
I think it's been a little tweaked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What would make it better?
Some tweaked headphones.
That's right. It's time to talk about one of our sponsors. And we're not going to talk anything, no dirty words this time, I promise.
It's clean. This is a clean.
This is a clean spot.
Clean toss-up.
That's right. So big thanks to Tweaked Audio for being one of our sponsors. If you are looking to get, check this out, 33% off your order.
Wow.
Free shipping.
Yep.
Free lifetime guarantee. If these suckers ever break, all you got to do is send them back and they'll give you a new pair.
Exactly.
That's pretty amazing.
That's worth the price of it all on its own. Because how many times do you break headphones?
I break headphones all the damn time.
Exactly.
Seriously. But so if you want to save that 33% off, there's one thing you got to do. Go to tweakedaudio.com. And when you check out, put in the code MetalGeeks. It helps us, and it helps you at the same time.
Not only do you get a gift for yourself, you're giving back to the show in your own kind of way.
It's all we ask for. All you got to do is, you know, buy something from them and put in the code. We get a little teeny tiny bit back, and it all goes back into making this show better.
Yeah, we don't profit from it.
I've been doing this for 10 years. I've never made a profit. I put money into this thing every month. I've never asked for money. I've never done any of that kind of stuff. So there you go.
All cards on the table.
If you want to send me money, I'll give you my email address, and you can PayPal me something.
We should just, you know, put a donate to me kind of thing.
We could, but I don't know. There's Patreon and all that kind of stuff. What do you guys think about that?
Let us know.
Yeah, msrcast@gmail.com.
Or just email. Put it in the comments in the iTunes.
Yeah. No, hey. I'm not.
Yeah, let us know. I want to know what people think of our show.
We want good reviews on iTunes.
We can delete those.
No, we can't.
All the bad ones, all gone. So
that's a good point, because we want you to go find us on iTunes, search for Metal Geeks Podcast, and give us a review. Give us a 5 stars, because it really does help our rankings on iTunes, and it helps more people find out about the show.
And also, we want people to interact with us and let us know what you want us to talk about.
That's right. So you can send us an email, you could tweet us, you can send us a message on Instagram, or you can Facebook us, all at Metal Geeks on all those platforms.
All the social media webs.
All the social medias.
Social medias.
Where else you can find us on the internet, you can find us in all of our different networks that we're involved with, which is really cool. First of all, you can find us at podbros.com, our newest affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us at Houston Nerdcasting Collective, at houstonnerd.org. Altness.com, who's been our oldest and best friends of the show.
Yeah, they're really good peeps.
Yeah, I love all the guys. Thanks to Brian McBalls and Mike over there. They go above and beyond for helping us get stuff done.
Yeah, especially Mike with the new Adventures in Geekery
show. Go to adventuresingeekery.com, watch the last episode, and see what kind of a mastermind that he is with the graphics, man. He's crazy.
Yeah, he created that whole intro good, for our man. Show, yeah.
He's wicked good.
Wicked good.
Wicked good.
No, he's just really good with that stuff.
You can also check us out on the weekend on Saturday evenings on Lightning Radio. And you can also find us on nerdbong.com and the ESO Podcast Network.
Or Station One.
Or Station One Podcast, exactly right.
Yeah. I know what it stands for. That's why I said it.
Right.
I wasn't wrong.
All right.
Oh, yeah. You looked at me like I was wrong.
So where can people find you?
Find me personally. I am on Twitter as George Tripsas, STRPSAS, and then on Instagram is just George Trip.
If you want to find Dave, you can find him at Red Viking Dave. Yeah. As well as I Love Geekazoid on all the social medias.
Mm-hmm.
Buy something from him. He's a great guy.
Yeah, anything you want with...
you need a vinyl sticker, you need a case for your...
Anything that you like, love, or geek out about, he can do.
He can make it for you. Exactly right. He can make your dream become a reality.
Yep. He's a dream maker.
Copyrighted.
Yeah.
Metal Geeks right now.
Yeah.
He's a dream warrior.
He's a dream warrior for you.
The voice from the other room just came out was that, the dream warrior.
You know, much love to Wes Craven.
That's right. Bringing it back.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.
Of course, you can. We already talked about our social medias, but check out the newest episode of MSRcast. Check out adventuresofgeekery.com. That'll lead you straight to the new Strix website where all of our latest episodes are hosted. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else to say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I got to say.
What is that?
Keep it metal.
And keep it geeky. Bomp.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.